Second scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region of shadow and death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. In the past couple of weeks, we've been thinking about what discipleship looks like. We started 3 weeks ago with the baptizer, John, who baptized Jesus. In that story of discipleship, we learned that discipleship looks like community. We talked about us with God and God with us and us with each other. Last week, we followed Jesus as he walked again by the edge of the Jordan River, and we heard John call out, "There is the Lamb of God." We met some people who heard Jesus' invitation to come and see. Discipleship looks like being curious enough to go and see for ourselves. This week, we find out that John's mission, John's zeal for God has not faded, and he gets so excited about this message of God and God's message that he actually gets into some trouble. He calls the king out on some things, and the king is not pleased. And so John gets arrested. Jesus hears about John's arrest, and he decides it's time to leave the area. Maybe he thought the area just wasn't safe now that John was gone. But I also think that Jesus knows how much bigger the world is than just that region by the Jordan. There weren't just people near the Jordan River who needed to hear God's message of love and grace. Jesus is on his way, walking by the Sea of Galilee when he calls his first disciples. Now, some names you might recognize from last week, Andrew and Peter. Others' names we are hearing for the first time, James and John, two sets of brothers, one presumably a little bit older, out in the world being adults, doing what adults do, going to work. And the other two, still in the boat with their father, still learning the family business, mending their nets. And both sets of brothers hear Jesus' call, immediately drop their nets and follow Jesus, simply because Jesus said so. They drop everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not that spontaneous. It takes me a long time to make that kind of a huge life decision. There's a lot of back and forth between me and people I trust. We learn that Peter had some people he trusted. Peter actually had a wife. He was later, took Jesus to heal his mother-in-law. So at some point, Peter had a wife. And I wonder if he consulted with her at all. He drops his nets, gives up his whole career. If David did that, holy cow. That's a huge decision. The idea of just hearing a call and immediately dropping everything is a little bit scary for me. Maybe it is for you too. And maybe you've done it. These two sets of brothers do just that. They drop everything. They agree to fish for people, creating the heart of that Bible school song that always gets stuck in our heads. I will make you fishers of men. You're welcome. I don't know if these two sets of brothers knew what they were getting into. Jesus' teachings definitely give them some clues later, but here at the outset, I think they at least had some hints. Surely they knew about John the Baptist and John's message about baptism and repentance. Andrew actually spent quite a bit of time with John, as we read last week. So they knew there was this undercurrent working towards change. There was this undercurrent working towards following God in a new way. Baptism was relatively new. Baptism for repentance, this idea of literally changing directions. I get the sense that Andrew and Peter at least had a little bit of a sense of what they were getting into, and I wonder if James and John had the same inkling. They immediately hang up the gone fishing sign. They will not fish for fish any longer, something that I'm sure went over well with Dad. This is how Jesus called his first disciples. They called and they followed. They trusted in his call and they were all in. There was no discernment period necessary. And I wonder, is that what Jesus expects from us? What does it mean for Jesus to call us as disciples? Called is one of those churchy words that we often throw around, I think rather flippantly, without always thinking about what being called means. I find it helpful to use the word call and heart interchangeably. We can say she really has the heart for what she does, or you really need a heart for that kind of work. A call, I think, is heart work. It is God at work in your heart. It's God taking your heartstrings and tugging on them, letting you know that either you are exactly where you are meant to be, and if you're not, that maybe it's time to consider a different path. It's that gut feeling. Doing my internship as a hospital chaplain in seminary, I learned that was not my calling, to be in a trauma hospital day after day. When I was a newspaper reporter, working at the newspaper right out of college, I knew I wasn't meant to spend the rest of my life in the newsroom. I knew I was meant to keep writing, but the newsroom just wasn't my jam. Thank you, Jesus, for that revelation. So we have a sense of what call is. It's that sense of that's where you're meant to be called as a disciple is to be called as a learner. The word disciple is from a Latin word that means learn. And then there's the Greek word in the Bible, mathetes, which means learner, pupil. Disciples are people who learn stuff. We join together in community, this us with God and God with us and us with each other. And when we accept the invitation to come and see, we find out that Jesus' call for discipleship, part of what he is doing is calling us to learn things at first. I've always had a heart for learning. Education was always very important in my family, but not everyone in my family learns the same way. My brother did much better at trade school, working with his hands, than he would have in the academic world where I landed. There isn't just one way to learn stuff. And the good news is, just like there isn't one way to learn stuff, there isn't one way to be a disciple either. Some of us are visual learners, and we need to see the process. And some of us are audio learners. We can just listen and glean everything we need to know. In Scripture, we see Jesus meet people where their learning styles were. His friend Mary in Bethany was an audio learner. She could sit at his feet and just listen. She absorbs. Many people in the crowd gathered and listened, and some needed to see. "Come and see," Jesus said. He healed people. He performed miracles. Our scripture this morning said Jesus taught and healed. He spoke and showed. We learn about Jesus and from Jesus in different ways. And the good news is that Jesus meets us where our learning styles begin. There's not one right answer. And we can always be learners. Always. And if you think you can't, I visited a memory care unit at the nursing home last week. And the director was telling us about a 90-year-old woman who lives there in the memory care unit who was learning to play the piano. She meets with the guest pianist who comes and plays for the residents there, and she had heard this lady play, and she decided she wanted to learn too. I figure if she can learn to play the piano in her 90s in a memory care unit, I have no excuse. Learning. Being willing to admit that there are things we do not know. I think this is part of being Jesus' disciples. Being open to learning new things is good. Proverbs 18:15 tells us, "Wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights." Learn first. Learn first. Jesus doesn't right out of the gate point to the people in the boat and instruct them to go and do stuff. He doesn't immediately tell them to go and teach, go and heal, go and join a committee, get on session. The first thing Jesus tells them to do is follow. Learn things. This sense of belonging comes first. Learning comes first. This simply being willing to wonder. Wondering is what leads us to learn, and learning inspires us and sometimes challenges us to do more. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. It starts with following and learning, and it leads to fishing. It leads you to do something with what you've learned. One call leads to another call. Throughout our lives, it's not usually one call and you're done. You have found your niche and your place where you're going to be forever. Sometimes that happens, but not always. Lives change and circumstances change. What might have been your call once might not be your call in 5 years or 10 years. Finding a different call can be hard because change is hard. The brothers in the boat quit their day job to follow Jesus. They made it look easy, but it's hard. So learn first, and then use your learning. That's the period of discernment, of figuring things out. And in a way, this is not a groundbreaking model. Sounds an awful lot like the way life is. You go to school and you learn stuff. You learn lots of different stuff. And then you go out into the world and hopefully are able to apply what you've learned and use that on your next path. In college, I majored in English and communications, and I still use a lot of that as a pastor. I hate to admit it, but I even use the statistics class. And the geometry that I hated in high school, try quilting without knowing a little bit of geometry. Of course, not everything that we learn ends up being practical in later life. I'm almost positive that learning to use an analog radio editor is not something I will ever use again. I hope. Especially since everything is so digital now, right? But we still learn things, and we still experiment with things, because the reality is that you'll never know what information you will need someday. One call leads to another call, and maybe in another lifetime, I'll need that radio analog information. It at least became good fodder for sermon. We learn this as a church, too, when we start to think about what God is calling us to do next. That's why our church has a visioning team, to think about this question of what God is calling us to do next. There's an article from them in the annual report, so you can check out what they've been up to since they formed last year. It's exciting work to think about where we've been and where we are and where God might be calling us next, to imagine where we might be going. One call leads to another call. Hear the call to belong and follow. Then we hear the call to go fishing, to apply what we have learned to the real world. And I think we need new learning. As we were reminded at Presbytery this weekend, as Pastor Colson preached to you a few weeks ago, we are in this uncharted territory. We need to learn new things and try new things, and yes, sometimes we will try things that simply don't work. And then we'll try something different. We'll experiment with different ways to express simple grace so that we land right where God wants us to be for this season in our life together. And it is exciting. I hope that 2020 will be the year that stretches us as a church, a year that encourages us to ask questions about who God calls us to be. Our vision statement is on the bulletin every week. If you look at the front, it is there, living and sharing the miracle of God's grace. How often do you simply look at that phrase and enjoy it? Simple grace. That is our mission. How Jesus is calling us to fulfill that mission, that's what we're learning. And it's not just the work of the visioning team. It's also the work of the session. It's the work of me as your pastor. It's the work of all of us as the body of Christ. I hope that 2020 is a year that stretches us to explore what God is calling us to next. And I hope that 2020 is a year that stretches you individually, a year that encourages you to figure out what your mission is. How is Jesus calling you? Are you where Jesus needs you to be right now? Or are you living in a season of crossroads? Are you in a season of learning or a season of doing or somewhere in between? Whatever season you're in, know that Jesus walks with you. This community walks with you. This us with God and God with us and us with each other. Encourage one another, Paul says in Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. It takes a village to sustain a village. Jesus calls us, and one call leads to another call, as it is in the world, as it is in each of our lives. So buckle up, and let's follow Jesus. Amen.